I believe that God is not finished yet, that there is more of His power and His love and His might that He's wanting to overflow to us. Jesus, you were talking, Jill, about as these various pastors take food into the villages, that it's a demonstration of the reality of the love of God in not just a spiritual sense, but in that physical touch. And that's allowing people to see the reality of Jesus. Years and years ago, Phil and Lucille Davies were missionaries in Burkina Faso. They worked with Lynn's parents. And there's a group of about a half a dozen missionaries, the Eatons and the Johnsons and Powers and the Davies. And Lynn's older brother was growing up in that environment. A man who loves God, but was so aching inside seeing people that living at a lower level than third world countries, totally impoverished. And he made some proposals, and the government accepted it. And they gave him in Burkina what was called the Old Pool Park area. He had 405 square miles of ranch. With the protectorate zone, he had over 1,000 square miles that they were responsible for. When he went in, there was less than 1,500 live game aggregate throughout that whole area. When he left the ranch, there was over 15,000. Villages that had never had a legal income before were getting a legal income. They would crop the herds, unlike we would do with cattle. They arranged safaris. People would pay decent money to come in and hunt. They would get the trophy. The villagers would be the guides. They got the meat and they got the hide. The frustrating part for me as a new believer in seeing these things was that he was not regarded as a missionary, because he wasn't doing quote-unquote gospel work. His argument was, how can you share the love of Jesus with people that can't hear you for the grumbling of their stomachs? The area that he was in, Alliance and various organizations had tried to go in, but they made no headway at all. A few years after he started the project there, whole villages came to Christ. Not a few in the village, whole villages, because they saw the love of God in tangible terms. And he had former poachers that he trained as rangers, which was a good idea because they knew how the poachers did it. They knew where the poachers went. Lynn's younger brother was working with him. Clark and I are built more like one another. Rob was built more like Howard. Lean, mean fighting machine. And they had an ultralight. Every time Clark flew it, it crashed because he's too big. But Rob would go up and go with a walkie-talkie. And from 100 feet in the air, you can see all the game trails, and you can see the poacher trails, and you see the poacher camps. But on the ground, you couldn't, because the elephant grass is what? How high? 8 feet? 5 feet? 6 feet? But it made an impact. What you give, we're not able to receive it, but folks, what you're giving, and as it goes to these pastors, and there's no administration fees. Dollar for dollar is going to buy food. I was trying to get a better look at that milk because I was wondering if that was Dairyland 2%. It was the right color. The pink lids. I do that, you know. Doing that tomorrow morning at 7. Sean could probably explain to you the cost of operating a dairy in Canada. Yeah. I believe that God is moving. I know for a fact some of the concerns you were sharing, that there are churches. I know of one large church that is down. They every 2 years they do a renewal of membership. You have to sign an agreement that you're renewing your membership. They're down 20%. Because and there's some people that call this their church home, but you know, some of them I haven't seen in nearly a year. You know. And it's hard to see them with the current situation, amen? You know? And my prayer is they don't fall through the cracks. You know? But I believe that God is moving. And on that note, we'll go to the scripture. If you will turn to Acts 2. And I'm sorry, I saw it in a bulletin and I forgot to announce it, the prayer meeting on Tuesday. But you announced it and I'm grateful for that. Let's pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, rain down. We need a renewing touch every day. Sometimes, Lord, it's just the grind that gets us. And we need refreshing. We need renewal. Father, forgive each one of us for the times that we're indifferent to the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we're not even sensitive to the fact that you're in our midst, that you're moving. But Lord, this day, help us to be open to your presence, sensitive to your word, most of all, responsive to it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thursday evening, I had a rough outline going for today, and I thought, this is good. I can take a little more leisure time Saturday morning, my day off. I can make breakfast and, you know, do something spiritual, like watch the Warplanes documentary, the F4, you know, and Lynn's got to go into Regina, and then I can attack the message, and I sit down to start and put the rough outline aside. I felt it wasn't for today. And it was for Pentecost. So this is not what I had originally planned on Wednesday and Thursday. It wasn't where I felt I was being led, but Saturday morning, it all changed. Have you ever been there? You know, Tim's hoping, I hope not this week. Because he shared with me this morning what he felt God was telling him to do. And if it changes on Saturday morning, he's going to blame me. Thanks a lot, John. So be sure to be here next week, because our elder Tim will be sharing the word. Here we are, Acts 2. Before we read Acts 2, I just want to remind you of last week. If we're going to hear God, and it was the last in just a short series on hearing God. If we're going to hear God, we need to be, it presumes that we're being honest with him, honest with ourselves. You know, Sylvia, I appreciated your prayer this morning, because you're saying, like, you know, we can become so familiar with things, we don't take notice of them. We don't take notice of the fact that we can smell things, that we can taste things. And it's not that we don't love God. It's not that we don't love life. It's just that life falls into routine. The grind starts to wear on us. And then when it's not there, all of a sudden you realize it's not there. And that's part of being honest with ourselves. So we talked about that honesty with ourselves requires a mirror. And you know, when we go to a mirror, we usually put our best side forward. You know, and I talked about a mirror compass and setting a course. I can't set a course if I'm not being honest looking in the mirror. Am I really seeing who I am, how I'm responding to God, what am I doing, you know? And when I was talking with my son on Wednesday, we talked about those things. Okay, he phoned to let me know that he'd put in his resignation. I said, okay, you know, doesn't sound like it was going good anyway. We talked about possible future things. I said, okay, I don't want to talk about your work. I want to talk about you. How are you doing mentally? How are you doing emotionally? Most of all, how are you doing spiritually? And we had a good talk. We were on the phone for just over an hour. And I sent him a text picture of a mirror compass. I said, like, if you're going to set a heading for God, you know that God called you guys to Red Deer. Where you're at right now is no surprise. God's never shocked at where you are. Even if you've messed up and you're in the ditch, God's not surprised. And you have to, one of Lynn's favorite verses is Romans 8:28, that he causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Folks, if that's not true, salvation's not true. It's the same book. It's part of the same gospel. That no matter how I'm being pressed at any given moment, God's aware and he's not abandoned me. Every once in a while, I have to be honest and confess I abandoned him. But he's never abandoned me. Being honest. Being honest with ourselves requires wisdom. Recognizing there's a lot of voices out there. There's that which is politically correct, the voices of just the world. There's the voices of my own desires. And quite frankly, most of that's lustful. There was a lady that I know that was in with her mom, and she's driving a really bright, shiny red Taurus. And she comes in, and I said, is that an SHO? The super high output? It's got the racing engine in it? She says, I don't know. I said, I'm already drooling. You know, it's just lust. Huh? Yeah? There's that thing happening in our lives, you know? You know? How is it that every time I'm getting ready to go to bed at 10 o'clock, I'm suddenly hungry? Yeah, hello? It's just lust, amen? And we respond to it. Then there's those demonic voices. People say, do you think God still speaks today? He better be, because there's enough other voices out there trying to get my attention. If I'm not hearing God, I'm in a mess. Amen? Just got to be honest with ourselves. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Being honest about ourselves requires that we acknowledge how we're hearing. And we talked about the same sower, the same seed, four kinds of soil. You know, it went on the pathway, it went on rocky ground, it went into thorny ground, weedy ground, just the cares of the world, and good soil. You know, I preach that. You know, I believe that. And then you ever think you got victory? And then 3 days later, the same thing's biting you? How many were glad for the rain? I wasn't. 12:30, I hear the rain going. And I can hear it's overflowing my eavesdrops. Panic attack. The day I was supposed to leave to go to do Johnny's wedding in Alberta, I go to get my suit out of the middle room and the floor is wet. Wayne had to come and repair the room. And every time we get a bad rain and I hear the eavesdrops overflowing, I get that same panic that it's going to flood into the house. And my wife says, just come to bed. You're not going to go out at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning with lightning and go up in the ladder and clean out the eavesdrops. I'm going to sit in the front room. No, come to bed. I said, I can't sleep anyway. I'm going to stay out here. Yeah. Thorny ground. Hello? Is that just me? Yeah? I got one young guy back there going, yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, great. One honest person. Hallelujah. Yeah. Never learn the lessons. I keep going. Yeah. Just being honest. I'm being honest with you. Do I not love God? Of course I love God. Do I want to serve him? Of course I want to serve him. But my eavesdrops were overflowing. Yeah, I mean, get real, folks. So after supper on Friday, Lynn held the ladder and I was going up cleaning them out. She had a bucket. She said, I don't want you throwing the stuff out of the eaves trough on the plants. You'll kill the plants. So she's holding the ladder. Where's she standing? Right underneath the bucket. I just say, honey, go around the other side so I'm not throwing it on your head. Hello? Be honest with yourselves. We're going to hear God. We need to be honest with ourselves. We're going to read Acts 2, but before we do, I want you to look at the introduction. The spring feasts of Israel. A few weeks back, we celebrated Easter. Easter, we celebrate on the day of Passover. Now, I corrected it in the bulletin. That should be Nisan 14th to the 15th, somewhere in there. Nisan is not a Jewish name for a car. That's a Japanese car. Nisan is the month. Okay? Thank you. Quick. Wow, I'll tell you. It talks about Egypt coming out of bondage. That's what the Passover was about. Blood was applied to the door. The death angel passed over. And they, listen, you and I were in bondage. There was all kinds of things prior to me becoming a Christian that controlled and captured my soul. I was much a slave as Israel was in Egypt. But Christ set me free. That's the prophetic picture that is given. The Jewish mind thinks in terms of pictures. Even their alphabet. You look at their alphabet. Alpha, Beth, Gimel, you know, Daleth. Bethlehem. Beth is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it means the picture for it is a tent or a house. Lehem is bread. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, good man. What did he say about himself? He said, I am the bread of life. Where was he born? Bethlehem. We need to understand that the Jewish mind thinks in pictures, and prophecy to them is pictures. Passover is a picture of what God was going to do through his son, the bread of life, the Savior, and the death angel would pass over if you received the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the significance there. Okay? Then the very next day is unleavened bread. It ran for a week, the 15th to the 22nd. Leaven is generally a symbol of sin. Lynn made some croissants. They were from a company that you just, all you have to do is put it out, let it rise, and then you bake it. But we kept them in the deep freeze a little too long. Those croissants never did rise. They didn't get bigger. And I thought, this is really cool, because I'm preaching on Pentecost, and we've got unleavened bread. Yeah? Yeah. And they were supposed to search the house and get the leaven out. The reason it's, they had unleavened bread is after the Passover, Pharaoh says, get out! We had a death in every household. Pharaoh's eldest son died. Death in every house. Get out! We don't want you anymore. They had to leave so hurried they didn't have time to let the bread leaven. And listen, get the leaven out. You know, you talked about in your prayer, help me walk in discipline that my life can be. What were you saying? You were saying, God, if there's any leaven in me, help me get it out. That's a feast of unleavened bread. I get saved, and I progressively deal with the issues of my life. Next one. Now, notice, those are consecutive days. Okay? Notice, this is consecutive as well. The spring feast, three of them are bang, bang, bang. 15, 16, 17. First fruits. Jesus is crucified. 3 days later, what happens? Rises from the dead. And the Bible talks about Jesus, the first fruits. What does he do that night? You go to the last chapter of John, what does he do? He breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Okay? First fruits was a promise of a harvest. It was. If I understand right, some of the barley was ripe, but most of it was green. But it was a promise of a harvest. He breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. 50 days after first fruit is Pentecost. You know what Pentecost means? 50th. That's all it means. You know? Penta. Pentagon. Five sides. 50th. That's all it means. And it was the first harvest of the year for the Jewish people. They had two harvests. They had a late spring harvest and then a fall harvest. This is the barley harvest. 50 days after first fruits, the Holy Spirit is poured out. On the 40th day, Jesus ascends. But before he ascends, they ask him, is this now the time, this is Acts 1, is this now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking in earthly terms. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate? You know, are you a king? You know, not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, you wouldn't be able to do this. Angels would come and prevent it. My kingdom's not of this world. You know, then the Jews are upset because what does Pilate write? To go on the cross. King of the Jews. And they said to him, don't say that. Say, he said he's the king of the Jews. And remember what Pilate said? What I've written? I've written. You know? So we got these three. Bang, bang, bang. We just taught that, you know, 50 days ago. Now we're at the 50th day, Pentecost. Acts 2. Okay. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. There was 120 in the upper room. So that's the them. Remember at one point Jesus sent out the disciples, 70 of them? So how many are actually gathered there? I'm not sure. Probably at least 120. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We could spend a whole lot of time here, but we're not going to. But I want to remind you that in John, he breathed on him the night of the resurrection. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, when he said that, what do you think they got? They got the Holy Spirit. 10 days earlier, they say, are you going to restore the kingdom now? He says, no, it's not for you to know. Even Jesus didn't know. He says, that's up to Dad. But you tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. 10 days later, Pentecost, this happens. They're all filled. Okay? Verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at the sound, the multitude came together. The sound of what? The sound of the mighty rushing wind. The, the overflow outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. And they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not these who are speaking Galileans? They're from the region of Galilee. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Okay? Jews and those people that were identifying with the Jews, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. Now, this causes some people confusion. But when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, it says a person who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God, and nobody understands them. A miracle was happening. They were speaking, but they were hearing it in their own language. Are you with me? I remember the story of Goforth, who was a missionary in China. There was a large gathering, and he spoke English. The translator was translating it. I can't remember the order. If he was translating into Cantonese, there was a small group that came in, and they were at the back of the meeting, and they spoke Mandarin. So Goforth is speaking in English. The translator's translating it, and let's say it was in Cantonese, because I can't remember whether it was Cantonese or Mandarin. But there was a small group who spoke the other dialect. So if he was translating English to Cantonese, the Mandarins were hearing it in Mandarin. And they come up to Goforth, and they're talking to him in Mandarin, and he had to get a translator because he didn't know what they were saying. And they said, well, how come you don't understand? You spoke to us in Mandarin. They heard him not speak in English. They heard him speak in Mandarin. And the translator was translating in Cantonese. To me, that was what happened here. That's a miracle. That's incredible, you know. So they're all hearing this. And they're hearing the mighty works of God, not the works of men. They're hearing the mighty works of God. Verse 12. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said they're filled with new wine. I think the old King James says they're drunk. You know? And I think in the King James it's 3 a.m. Well, by our time it's 9:00 a.m. He says, no, they're not drunk. Dennis Bennett, Episcopalian or Church of England or Anglican, wrote the book, 9:00 a.m. You know? During the Charismatic Renewal, his assembly in Van Nuys got together, and during a worship service, they all started to speak in tongues. They didn't know what was going on. He wasn't even preaching on it. Rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. So he had to investigate, and he wrote the book 9:00 a.m. That's not what time he wrote the book. That was the title of the book. That was one of the key movements in the early charismatic church. No? Verse 14. Peter standing with the 11. Don't you like this? God uses Peter, who at the evening before Passover, what does he do? 3 times he denies the Lord. Then the rooster crows, and he remembered what Jesus said, and now he's ashamed and he's embarrassed. The women go to the tomb in the morning. Jesus is risen from the dead. Why are you here looking for the living among the dead? They go running back. They tell the disciples. They don't believe him. John and Peter run to the tomb. I like that. John's in good shape. He outruns Peter. He gets to the entrance to the tomb. He stands there and looks in. Peter, as always Peter is, foot in his mouth, rushes right by John, goes right into the tomb, and it's empty. You know? And the women say, when we talked to him, he said, go tell the disciples to meet me and tell Peter. Have you messed up lately? It's me. You know? He knows my name. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. There's nothing about me he doesn't know. Go tell Peter. He failed big time. He denied the Lord. And who does he use on the 50th day after first fruits? He uses Peter. And that's the point of this message today, is to share Peter's message. Okay? So verse 14, Peter standing with the 11, lifted up, because they've already replaced Judas. Okay? Lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Galilee and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. I really appreciate your prayer, Josh, that God would deal with you, that they could see the reality. Listen, whatever you want to debate about the day of Pentecost, here's the bottom line. Something so profound happened that day that people looking said, this is different. You are light and you are salt. And when people look to us, they should be looking at us and say, they're human, but they're different. And not different in a... He's different. Listen, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you and fill you. There should be evidence to the people around you that you're different. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you should strive to go out there and be odd. That's not what I'm saying. There's something unique about you, and it's the presence of the living God. People, you know, it's kind of like smell and taste. We should be presenting something to the world that they go, what is this? What is this? Peter says, these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And he quotes Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So, Bob, you and I may not have visions, but God says you can still dream a dream. Yeah? I think of Martin Luther King. I have a dream. God wants to give us a dream. Wants to give us a vision. So, Sam, you look for visions, and I'll dream. I'll dream about you getting a vision. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in these days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, before the great and magnificent day. And Josh, you prayed this, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay? I was listening when you guys were praying. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. If you go back to Joel and you look at this, and you look at the entire portion of Joel, Joel is talking about the judgment of God coming. And when it talks about salvation there, he's not talking about being saved from your sins. He's talking about being saved from the judgment that's going to fall. And Peter's extending it now to everyone who hears that you have the opportunity to be saved. Because not only is there a judgment coming upon Israel, there's a judgment coming for all of planet Earth. Romans 8, all of creation is moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Earth is going to be delivered from the chaos that we have done to it. verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested, attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. I accepted Christ when I realized that I needed a Savior. I needed someone to deal with the iniquity in my life, with all the trespass, shortcomings, mess-ups, failures, foolishness, idiocy of my life. I needed somebody to deal with that. And that I had crucified Jesus. Jesus had died for me. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. He knows my name. And gave himself for me. He did that. He did that for you. And I need a continual refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. They received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But 50 days later, they got filled. God raised them up, verse 24, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. When's the last time you just felt glad? Just, you know, I don't know what it is. I just feel the Lord's with you. Oh, boy, how I need that in my life. Boy, I sure didn't have it Friday morning at 12:30 in the morning with the gutters overflowing. Verse 29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being there for a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. I believe in a current, present work of the Holy Spirit that should be visible. People should see something in our lives. And they should hear something from us. Not condemnation. They should be seeing the love and the amazement of God in ways that no normal flesh can produce. For David did not ascend in the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That day is coming sooner than we can imagine, I think. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, listen, for the promise is for you. It's for you. Not a one-time event. Ephesians 5 says, be ye continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It needs to be, you know, it would save me a lot of money if I could have one meal today and never had to eat again. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat again. Probably closer to 10 at night when I shouldn't. Hello? Listen. You don't need the Holy Spirit once in your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you need that fresh Holy Spirit rain down. We need that. Regularly. Not even just once a day. I mean, there's times at work I need it 2-3 times a day. You know, every once in a while I go into the freezer and I'm loading the stock cart. And that's not all I'm loading. Oh, God. You know. Hello? You know? I got a picture of you with a nail. Yeah? Shoved in. How did that nail gun go off? Apparently, lead poisoning. You needed help getting that thing out, but you know, the biggest thing you needed was the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, we don't have to have something that dramatic happen to us, but we need the Holy Spirit on an everyday basis, and He's wanting to be there. That's the big point. We're not in a religion. We're in a relationship where He wants to embrace us. Don't push Him away. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, whom the Lord, our God, calls to Himself. And with many other words, He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. How do you save yourself? You come to Jesus. You make that decision. Okay? Verse 41, to those who received His word, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Okay, I got verse 47 on the top there, but it should only be verse 41. Tim and I are talking about this morning. Every time I proof my stuff, I see what my mind thinks, not what's written. Okay, so we got the event of Pentecost. In Matthew 3 and 11, he says, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and tongues of cloven fire appeared on them all. There should be a fire in our soul. You know? And you can look at Mark 1 and 7. It reiterates that. I've already referred to Acts 4 and 5, where He says, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. We have just read most of Acts 2. Peter explains the event, Acts 2:16. This is that which Joel spoke of. I want to remind you, the Old Testament prophets, none of them saw the church. Paul says, I show you a mystery. And he talks about of the two, of the Jew and the Gentile, He made one new man. Christians. The called out of God. There is to be an outpouring, and there's going to be a latter rain. There's going to be a move of the Holy Spirit before the return of Christ. And listen, He'll fall upon all flesh, not just Jews. It'll be a great outpouring. It's going to happen. Peter's Pentecost message. Acts 2:22-24. In particular, verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And I was looking at that yesterday. I never thought of it before this way. And I'm not saying this is right. I'm not dogmatic on this. But it wasn't just lawless men in terms of they were doing the wrong thing, but who crucified Him? Romans. Were they under the law? They weren't Jews. So there was two aspects of lawlessness. They were doing the wrong thing, which is wrong, but they also weren't covenant people. But they were fulfilling the desire of covenant people. We don't want Him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. He said, you crucified Him. I got their personal illustration, Plymouth, tires, and salvation. That makes a lot of sense to you, so I won't explain it. I learned to drive it in a 1953 Plymouth. That was my first car. When mom and dad upgraded, I got the car, had to pay a couple $100 for it. And dad was the type, he was ex-military. If I have to tell you twice, you weren't listening the first time. It's funny, my wife says the same thing. And he never nagged me about the tires, but I got home one day and I had the spare on, and the tire I had blown, and it was down to the cords. And I was coming back from Summerland to Penticton. I was coming around the curve. She blew. It was all I could do to keep her on the road. Got her jacked up, got the tire changed, got home. And he says, now are you ready to listen? The cheapest insurance you can ever have on your car is good tires. That day I learned, and I pay attention to tires. He also taught me, it's just as cheap to keep the top half of the tank full as it is the bottom half. You know? I ran out of gas once, and I decided Dad was right. In my life, God had to get through and say, you crucified me. And I had this flood of things that I knew were wrong, but I was doing them anyway. And I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. What's the old saying? Too soon old, too late smart. Decide soon. Acts 2:24, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Romans 1:4 says, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. What separates Christianity from every other religion or philosophy in the world? One, that we believe that all people need to be saved. You cannot see God except you be born again. We all died in Adam. But Christ died for all of us. And he rose from the dead as proof that your forgiveness has been accepted by God. That's the bottom line. You know something? A lot of churches don't preach the resurrection anymore. The progressive movement that's happening. It's incredible. Acts 2:25-28. Peter reminds the people of the words of David, that one of his heirs would sit upon the throne and he would not experience corruption. He would not experience death. 29-35, Peter confidently elaborates on the prophetic ministry of King David. How the things that he taught, read it again, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the crux of the matter is in Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Okay, unfortunately, it didn't come up there like in my notes. In my notes, I got it in bold, and I underlined Lord and Christ. Christ is the Messiah who dies for us. Most people don't want to go to judgment. They want to be delivered from judgment. I had heard one pastor say, they wanted fire insurance. But they don't necessarily want a Lord. If he's my Lord, then he's in charge. And he's got his right to put his finger on whatever he wants. He's got the right to set the course for me. He's got the right to speak to me on issues of life. He's got the right to take me to the place where I realize I've been walking in the flesh and I've not been walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Jesus is not just the Lamb of God, and that should be died, not who did, who died for me. Jesus is to be my Lord. That means he's supposed to be speaking to me and I'm supposed to be responding now. Amen? Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? And even if we're, as we're here today, if you're a believer and you know that there's something you're missing, the cry of your heart should be, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And if you've never accepted Christ, I hope you're being pricked in your heart, and the cry of your heart is, what should we do? And here's Peter's response. And Peter said to them, repent. There's no coming to God without repentance. Just as I am, I come. But I confess where I'm at. You know? I've had people stand before me, well, God loves me just the way I am. Are you going to change? No, because he loves me just the way I am. Yeah, but listen, you know, how many love their kids just the way they are? You know, how many of you wish there are some things they'd change? You know, parents, train up your children in the ways of the Lord. When they're old, they won't depart. You know, you're trying to bring them to a place, not just, you know, of maturity and independence, but you're trying to bring them to a place where they understand that they're interdependent. I'm supposed to be part of something bigger than me. I'm interdependent on God, and I'm interdependent upon the saints of God around me. That's maturity. Hello? What should we do? Get this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I challenge you. The other night I finished reading through the Gospel of John. Just finished chapter 10 of Acts. I'm working my way through Acts. Read through Acts. The emphasis on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts. By what power or by what name are you doing this? There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the whole question. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every believer is born again. Every believer has the Holy Spirit with them. And every believer on a regular basis needs to be filled. My cup of coffee is almost half empty. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to refill it. Have you met some Christians who are empty? They need to be refilled. It's not a one-time event. Okay? The promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. How do you save yourself? You come to Jesus. Verse 41, notice the result. And this is the end. And then we go to our song, and then I fill my cup. Remember that old chorus, fill my cup, Lord? I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. O bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. You know, verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added to the church that day about 3,000. First fruits, he breathed on the small group in the upper room, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. 50 days later, 3,000 in one day come to the Lord. The early harvest. And we've been harvesting ever since. Will you stand as we go to our hymn?
How precious did that grace. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful rain that you brought down upon us in the last few days and how that is going to refresh us and that's going to preserve us in terms of our lives with the growth and everything it brings. But Heavenly Father, we thank you even more for the Holy Spirit that came down. And we just thank you that you are not somewhere far away, but you are right here with us and in us. And we just thank you for that beautiful shower. And we just, as we conclude here today, we just pray that as we go forward, we just stay close to you and remember the fact that your Spirit is with us. And we just thank you now, and we just wish everyone a great week. And with that, amen.